Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Nerds with Friends. My name is Cody Leach, and as always, I'm joined by Christian Garcia.
Hola!
We're still here, bitches.
Thought you got rid of us.
Thought you got rid of us, but we're back, baby. Yeah, we took a bit of a hiatus there for a minute, and it wasn't planned or anything. It was just, life happening. We got the holidays, we're very busy. And then after the holidays, I immediately got COVID. And after getting over COVID, I then injured my back. And it's just been nonstop fun since then. So, we're back. Thanks for, sorry for the long break. Thanks for coming back and listening. Make sure you like and subscribe, all that good stuff. We do appreciate it. We're going to get right back into it without further ado. And we have obviously missed quite a bit of stuff. So, we will be probably gradually releasing episodes about things that might have happened in the past, because there's, stuff to talk about, of course. But today we're going to be talking about Mr. Fantastic himself. Pedro Pascal has been announced, outed, if you will, by SAG-AFTRA as Reed Richards in the new Fantastic Four movie coming out for Marvel Studios. So we'll be talking about that, but I mean, it wouldn't be Nerds with Friends if we didn't do some nerdy confessions, right, Christian?
Hey!
All right. Well, why don't you start us off? I'm sure you have something that's been a while.
So I've been pretty addicted to Monopoly Go, and been playing with a couple folks, and it's...
I don't understand the new fascination with Monopoly, because my friend Joe just had me download Monopoly. It wasn't Monopoly Go, though. It's like legit Monopoly on the phone.
I don't know, man. This one, it's you're just straight, you're rolling, you land on pieces, you gain money, and then you buy, like, you upgrade certain areas, and then once you complete the board, you move on to another area. But so you play with people so people can attack your buildings, and then you have to essentially fix it, or people can steal your money, which I don't remember that being... Well, I guess neither attacking buildings in Monopoly, but...
Yeah, no, it's more you just, like, stay in a building.
Yeah.
Pay rent.
So it's kind of fun. You know, a couple of us have had, like, oh, you attack me, so I'm going to attack you, like, 4 or 5 times. Oh, you attack me 4 or 5 times, I'd attack you until, like, all your buildings are wrecked, you know?
Oh, fuck.
So it's definitely, like, it's continuous. I don't know how many levels. I think I'm on, like, level, like, 40 or something. I know people who are, like, at 100 and something.
Wow.
I think it's, like, one of those Candy Crush things. Like, there's no end. You just keep going.
Yeah, I remember that with the Candy Crush days where people are like, oh, what level are you on? You're like, oh, 537. You're like, dear God, stop playing.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty addicting. But, like, what sucks is, like, once you run out of rolls, you know, you got to wait, like, I don't know, like 20 minutes for like 8 more rolls, and 8 rolls in the beginning is pretty good. But then you start getting to the point where it's like, man, I need shit. And you can start rolling for like, it's kind of like slot machines where you can roll like 10 rolls at a time.
Oh, okay.
So then you're, you know, when you do get money, you know, you get way more.
Yeah.
I'm proud to say I've only sunk like probably like $5 into it, but I'm not.
Oh, it's one of those ones where you can like pay to roll early and stuff.
Yeah, but and I'm not doing that shit. So now if I get it, you can put up shields too. You can have shields, so if someone attacks you, it kind of blocks them. So now I was like, all right, I got 4 shields up. You know, that at least prevent me from getting like 4 of my buildings wrecked. So now I gotta wait. And there's mini games that are in there that are pretty fun, but I actually just downloaded another game to play while I wait for my rolls. It's called They Are Coming. I didn't realize that was a name until right now. But it's a zombie game, and it's not even like 8-bit. It's like kind of like Atari graphics, but
Okay.
you're going down the road and you get weapons and zombies are coming towards you and you can like shoot them. You can upgrade your weapons, you can kick, and you have one melee weapon. And that one's pretty fun. And particularly I think users can make weapons because people have made like Lucille and people have made,
Oh, nice.
yeah, you can have like a dog and you can upgrade the dog to like a tiger. And so like, and you can see like what they do, like how strong it hits, the penetrating power, the stopping power. Yeah, that one's pretty fun. And that one you can just keep going. The only thing with that one is you can get more money. It's just you got to go through the stupid ads.
Ads, yeah, for sure. The classic, mobile game, structure. It's like, oh yeah, now that we have you hooked, now you gotta wait. Or you could watch this ad, or you could just hit the little thing. It's just a dollar. And like, how much is a dollar? And then next thing you know, it's like $240. You're like, god damn.
I paid the $2 to no more ads and get the extra stuff. But I was like, you know what? Whoever made the game, this is a good game. Like,
Yeah.
you don't have to sink any more into that than the $2. It's like, why not?
Yeah.
$2, whoever made it, like, it's worth it.
Absolutely. Well, that's cool. Well, my nerd confession is video game related as well, though. This one is on a computer. It's a game that's sweeping the world, Christian. Pal World.
Oh, you mentioned that during Magic.
Oh
I've
my
seen
God.
people like tweet about it. I have no idea what it is, though.
Well, I'm here to tell you exactly what it is. So Pal World has been often described as Pokemon with guns, and which is not incorrect, but essentially it's a computer game that's on Steam and Xbox Game Pass, so either Xbox or PC players can play on that. And it was made by this company. Oh, I don't remember the name of the company. It's like it's something almost close to a Pocket Pair. It's what it's called, Pocket Pair. And it's a group of like 40 dudes. Well, there might be women there too, 40 people who created this game. And it's an open world game where you play as a person, and it's the world is filled with these monsters with magical powers that you catch with pal spheres, which are ball-shaped things that
Oh,
you
wow.
throw
Okay.
out and catch them. And but unlike a straight up Pokemon game, there's a base building and survival element to it. So, if you get too hungry, you have to go find food. If you go to a colder climate, you have to have warm clothes. And part of the fun is, you're catching these different pals out there in the world, and you bring them back to your base. And as you build up a base, they can like farm resources for you. They can start growing food for you. They can help you make more pow balls. They can help you like build your fort up, so, and then you can like, just like in Pokemon, you can like breed pals to make new higher level ones or different species ones and whatnot. And it's really fun, man. It's a complete ripoff of several games. Like, not only is there obviously the Pokemon element, but there's a game out there called Ark, which is a very similar premise with the survival aspect and catching creatures and stuff. And then it's also very similar to Breath of the Wild, Legend of Zelda. Like, the font for the title even looks vaguely like it. And when you like unlock a new fast travel point, it's got the little piano sound that you've unlocked something new. It's like, kind of thing. But other games have taken inspiration from, past games before too. The thing that's crazy about this one is they've sold 12 million copies on Steam, and they just topped 19 million players total. So that's about 7 million on Xbox Game Pass, which is crazy. Like, it's a crazy number of people playing that game, you know? It beat, I think it beat Counter-Strike as the most concurrent players ever on a game. It's absolutely insane. But man, it's really fun. And one thing that's kind of interesting about it is that there's when the game was first released, there was no remote servers for controlled by Palworld, right? Like there's like when you play Call of Duty, the thing that lets you and me play together whenever we want is that there are Call of Duty servers sitting somewhere, right? Where, you know, I jump on and we're on a server and then you jump on and we say, hey, let's play together. You know, it links us up on the same machine, essentially network together, and we can play that way. If I want to play by myself, I can play. And if you want to play by yourself, you can play. Palworld, there wasn't that when it initially started. So what me and my friends have had to do is we've gone in together on a server that you can rent from this company. I think it's called like Indifferent Broccoli or something like that. It's some weird name. And the logo is like this broccoli. That's just like, but yeah, so we paid for it. It's like, I forget what it is, like $16 a month or something, but there's like eight of us or something. So we've gotten in on that. So now we have a shared world. So like I can jump on any time and I can see what my buddies have also built up in their world. And like we each have our own separate box of pals, but we can all put some in on our shared basis to kind of, you know, run the farm and stuff like that.
I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know how I feel about that, man. I feel like this is the start of like, companies like, wait, we don't have to pay for a server. These guys are willing to pay for a server. Oh, we can offset that cost to them. I don't know if I like that, man. It's going to be like those, like downloading skins and what, like, you know, what started with like incomplete games and like you have to like pay to get new stuff, or I don't know. I don't like it.
You know, I think it's mostly because it's from a small independent publisher. I don't think that this will ever get to the point where like someone like Call of Duty would do this, or Halo or what have you. I think it's mostly because this is a small independent studio and this is not even the full game. It's an early access game, which is very common on PC, but not very common on console. So it's like not the full version of the game necessarily. So, I assume, you know, the game was like $30 with 12 million copies, you know, whatever 12 million times 30 is. These guys have just raked in some dough. So I'm sure that there will be some, you know, new features coming and maybe they'll, you know, buy up a server farm or something. So you won't have to do that, but man, it's pretty crazy. And it's a fun game. I recommend everyone give it a try if you got a PC. There's also like, you know, there's bad guys who are out there who will like shoot you and stuff. And like I said, there are guns in the thing. So you can go out when you start out, you start with nothing. So you just, to catch a pal, you have to weaken it. So you just go out and start beating the shit out of this little like Pokemon. And then it's like, oh, he's weak now. And throw the ball at it and it catches it. Then eventually, you know, you're out there with a freaking machine gun. You're like, and you're shooting the pals and stuff until they get low enough to catch them. It's awesome. And then the people, you know, there's the bad guys, like the essential Team Rocket stand-in kind of thing. You know, those guys, people soon discovered that you could throw a ball at them and catch them too. And so, like, now you have these people imprisoned in this pal ball. It's crazy, man. It's a crazy game. And it's got just enough low budget jank in there to make it funny and hilarious. But it's still a fun world to explore. It, like, parts of it are amazing. It's a huge map. And you know, they only have plans to make it bigger and better kind of thing. And it's got some really like dark like lore and stuff behind the some of the pals and stuff. Like I forget, I think I saw one earlier today where it was like it was like this one pal like had oh, here it is, Hengyu Its gigantic arms can rip apart even iron. As a particularly cruel form of execution, serious criminals would be strung up in a public square and hang you with teared skin right from their bones.
Cool.
And it's like, oh, you can't really see it. This is cool little, it's like this cute little guy with arms. But yeah, I mean, it's wild. It's a wild.
Give him a gun and watch him go nuts.
Yeah, exactly. Well, cool, guys. Well, that wraps up for our nerdy confessions. We'll take a quick, short little break. When we come back, let's talk some Fantastic Four. Let's talk some Marvel. We'll be right back.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
And we're back. All right, Christian. We've been waiting for the Fantastic Four for quite some time. And I think a lot of fans of the MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe, have been waiting for a good Marvel movie for a while now. It's been kind of rough, slim pickings lately, yeah. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, I started Echo and I didn't finish it, man. I saw like half of the first episode, fell asleep, and then I just haven't picked it up. And I mean, I'm going to, obviously, but I don't know. I think it's easy to say, but I think I'm starting to have a little bit of fucking superhero fatigue, man.
I'm feeling a little bit the same way, but I don't think it's so much superhero fatigue as it is like, I'm tired of them just like releasing whatever and expecting us to gobble it up. You know what I mean? There's been some like less than stellar movies coming out recently. Like we talked about the Marvels, you know, which was, there were fun parts, but overall the movie was not very good. And then, you know, even the head of like the Marvel TV shows or Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney, he said that they had oversaturated with the TV shows. And I agree. I think they put out too many shows too fast and some of the quality suffered on them. You know, Secret Invasion was like a bummer. And it just, you know, they're not delivering on the quality product that we were so spoiled with in the days of like phase 1, 2, and 3, you know?
So, and yeah, I mean, I was thinking about that earlier before recording, and it's just like, they're not really making good standalone movies. It's just like, okay, this is going to lead to this. This is going to lead to that. And like, that's what made everything before Avengers was so great, because everything was, well,
its own movie. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, yes, it would tie in eventually, but it just felt like its own package. But even after, you know, like Captain America, Winter Soldier was so good. And
well, the Captain America movies felt like Captain America movies, and the Iron Man movies felt like Iron Man movies, and the Thor movies felt like Thor movies. When you have a movie like Miss Marvel, or I'm sorry, the Marvels, it's like, I don't think that movie knew what it wanted to be. And even in that episode, if you guys go back and check it out, we offered like some cool, like alternate versions of it that would have been interesting, I think, that would have been more fun to explore those characters. But it's just like, it's just, you know, that movie, what it really felt like was, hey, you know, remember that one TV show? and remember that other TV show and that side character from that show, and remember that other character from that other movie. Well, now they're all together, and we don't know exactly what to do with them. We'll have them fight this one bad guy who isn't very well developed and has a power that no one really understands. It's just, it doesn't have that like planned out, thought out, you know, structure that we got used to for the rest.
Yeah. And I just want to see movies that like take a different approach other than Ragnarok, you know, right. Like even you know, the Scarlet Witch show. I don't remember the name.
WandaVision
was so good.
It was different.
It was different. Not everything had to be joke. There was like some parts where like, even on the first episode where she's like confused, and like even the characters that were in it were like,
had some horror movie vibes.
Like they were staring directly into the camera and they looked like they were about to cry. And it's like, oh shit, what is going on, you know?
Yeah.
And
like, and then Loki was also a very different feeling show.
Yeah.
And like this, we talked about the second season of that and how much we enjoyed that, you know? So I think that Marvel is ripe for, you know, a comeback. I'm very excited for Daredevil Reborn, or Born Again, I guess it is.
Yeah. If they take the approach of the Netflix and just, yeah, stick to it, you know, to stick to the feeling they had, you know, like, you know, street level crime, you know, Kingpin being super brutal, like maybe a joke one or two an episode, but not oversaturated. Just very
well there, you know, that's the thing that, you know, that I think people get wrong sometimes is like, they're like, oh, you know, everything's a joke a minute, and you know, you can't, you know, I want something serious. And like if you look back at the Daredevil show on Netflix, which I've rewatched multiple times now, there's some humor in there from time to time, you know, when like Foggy and Matt Murdock are like shooting the shit at the bar or something, or, you know, he's trying to have the blind guy, you know, pick out the hot chick at the bar or whatever, you know, there's humor when it's appropriate, but he shouldn't be out there like, you know, maiming a bunch of bad guys and like stomping them into the ground and then cracking one-liners. That's not who that character is.
Yeah.
That's Spider-Man.
For sure. You know, but it's not Daredevil. Yeah.
Yeah. But when he puts on the Daredevil mask, he is, you know, Daredevil, the man without fear. And that's a different vibe. So I'm hoping that's good. And I think from what I've heard, like they've been going back to, you know, they went back to the drawing board a couple of times, but now it's sounding like, you know, they brought back a lot of the original cast. Deborah Ann Wall's back in it. Guy who played Foggy's back in it. I think they're bringing back Bullseye. So like I have high hopes for it. And I think like if that goes well, and now if the Fantastic Four, you know, now that we have this casting news, sounds like it's probably at least headed in a good direction. I think we could have like a revitalization of the MCU. So let's talk about Pedro Pascal. What do you think of that casting as him as Mr. Fantastic?
I mean, I'm jazzed about it. I know there's been a few people on Twitter like, he's too old. Like, oh, you're going to start with a guy who's 50 years old. I was like, well, I mean, sure. Why not? I mean, I, Mr. Fantastic has never struck me as like a 20-year-old.
No, he's like got the little gray on his temples, which,
yeah.
Noticeably, I'm starting to get a little bit of that.
I mean, he's supposed to be, you know, like one of the smartest guys in the Marvel universe.
Right.
You know, people, a lot of characters always went to him for like advice, you know, anything outside of like magic stuff that's usually like science.
Yeah. It's
him and Tony.
Yeah, he's like the smartest man in the Marvel universe, right? Because he could stretch his brain.
Yeah. I mean, he's always kind of struck me like as like the father figure for a lot of characters. So like, yeah. No, it doesn't bother me at all. You know, I mean, it does kind of suck, I guess, in the sense that how many movies can we get, but makeup, you know, Pedro Pascal still looks pretty squirrely. You know,
here's the thing with Mr. Fantastic too. He's like, yes, Pedro Pascal is like 50 years old or whatever. Right. But at the same time, like, any action scenes with Mr. Fantastic, it's going to be his head on a CG body.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not like someone like Captain America, who's got to be doing like flips and hand-to-hand combat constantly. Right. So like we could potentially get, you know, you know, a decade out of, you know, Pedro playing, you know, Mr. Fantastic. And that wouldn't be that crazy when we could see the character develop, you know, as it goes on.
Yeah, not he that... can work out. Look at Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Guy's in fucking 70, still doing Wolverine shit.
Yeah. Now, who do you think, you know, who would be, like, some of your picks for some of the other Fantastic Four?
You know, like, there's been, I was looking at people that they're talking about, and I kind of like, I know there was talks of Seth Rogen before for the Thing. Yeah. And, but so, like, now what's floating around is, I'm probably going to get this wrong, but Ebon Moss Bacharach, he's from The Bear, you know, he's cousin.
Oh, okay.
I think he would be kind of good, you know, like he's definitely got, like, you know, the street guy who's like, you know, he's not like very,
he's not a scientist.
Yeah.
He's just like the rough and tumble friend, you know?
Yeah. Like he is, but he isn't, but you know, he's kind of street level. So
heart of gold.
Yeah. Like I think
rough
I
exterior.
I think he would be good. I really like the actor too, and he hasn't really, I haven't seen him in anything too huge, you know. So I think
he always kind of plays a side character, but yeah. I think that would be cool.
He would be a side character here, but with the potential of like him having some pretty good parts, because the Thing does get like some pretty, like if there's like the serious, like kind of like gets the short end of the stick and is always getting screwed over, it's always the Thing, you know, and that guy plays it well. So
yeah, absolutely.
I think it would be good casting. I'd be down for that.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that would be a fun casting. I think like for like Johnny Storm, you know, like I don't know if he'd be the right character for it now, but I always thought like a Zac Efron would be a good Johnny Storm, kind of like the you know, the playboy, doesn't take anything too seriously,
yeah,
kind of guy. I always thought he would be pretty cool.
You have to slim down a little bit after the Wrestler.
Yeah, what was that movie called?
Was it Wrestler? No.
Iron Claw.
Iron Claw, yeah.
That was a good movie.
It was really good. Sad, but really good.
Really sad.
No, like I was like, dude, respect to Zac Efron, man. Like, did a great job on that.
You know who else I wouldn't mind as a Johnny Storm? And I think John Boyega. You know, I think that would be a cool role for him to come out of, like, the being pigeonholed into Star Wars. I think he would be a fun character to kind of see him do, like, the nonchalant, you know, doesn't care about anything.
Plus also piss off all the people, you know, it's not going to be a white guy.
Piss off the woke crowd or the unwoke crowd. And for Sue Storm...
You know, one thing, like what I would love to see, it would never happen. But Chris Evans, to bring him back.
Oh, as Johnny Storm.
As Johnny Storm. Yeah. It goes like to see him go from like, you know, being like the perfect guy.
Boy Scout.
Yeah, the Boy Scout, to go back into Johnny Storm. Like, it would be great. I mean, you kind of could do it because the whole multiverse, like, oh, it's just like, you know, that's just him. That's how he looks like there. But I know they would never do it, but I'd be down.
Yeah, I think, you know, honestly, when you go back and watch those movies, he played that character really, really well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Say what you will about the original Fantastic Four movies. Like, they weren't great, obviously, but the casting wasn't bad.
Yeah.
You know, they did a fairly good job on casting. And then like Sue Storm, that's kind of a tough one. Honestly, like, she might be a little too young for it, but like that, what's her name? Sydney Sweeney from that Euphoria, you know, she'll get some butts in seats for sure as the Invisible Woman, but she'd be a little young for old Pedro.
Oh yeah.
I liked the Emily Blunt casting back when everyone thought John Krasinski was going to be a Mr. Fantastic. I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, she can still do it, you know.
Yeah,
you don't have to do everything
again, like she doesn't have to do action scenes. She just goes like this and then goes invisible, and then, you know, they make CG shoes fly around and stuff.
Yeah,
so I think
force fields, you know, just bloop, 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 bloop.
yep. Yeah, now how do you think they're going to introduce the Fantastic Four? I think the are going, like, you know, theory that we've had for a while now, or at least the one that I've floated, is that, you know, they've been stuck in the negative zone for, you know, X amount of years. That's why we haven't heard of them in the MCU at all, right? Because they're supposed to be like the first family of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And like, I like the idea of them going into the negative zone during an experiment of some sort and being stuck there and time kind of dilating. So they've been like, they still think it's the 60s. And so they come out in the, like, the blue leotard Fantastic Four stuff. And then they have to kind of like relearn what the modern world's about. I think that would be kind of interesting.
Yeah, and it could work because the stuff they'd be doing with the quantum realm, like, oh, time works different down there. You know, it's not the same. And so, yeah, I mean, I could see it working. Mm-hmm. I haven't tried to map it out in my head how they would do it, honestly. I don't know. I mean, they could also pull, like, you know, now with the multiple dimensions, and, you know, they could just pull, oh, they were just there. I mean, they've already kind of did it with the Doctor Strange movie, where they already showed Mr. Fantastic, like, oh, you know, they just didn't they didn't exist in this reality, but they exist there, and they got pulled in because there's going to be some kind of multi-dimensional, you know, war event where they have to pull in. They're like, oh, well, we just got to stay here now, you know.
Absolutely.
There's a bunch of ways they can do it.
Now, do you think they should go Doctor Doom right away with the Fantastic Four?
You know, that's kind of what I was thinking about, right? Like, if they're doing their own movie, like, who would they go with? Yeah. It's rough, man, because Doctor Doom is one of my favorite villains.
I know. And he's so good.
And, like, obviously, yeah, I would love to see him pop up, but, like, I think they should give him the Thanos treatment. Like where he's kind of, like, later on.
I wouldn't mind, I don't know, because I don't really like how they did the Doctor Doom without his mask in the original Fantastic Four movies. But that would be kind of an interesting thing where he's just kind of like a heel turn halfway through the movie. You think he's their friend, but then he turns out to be, you know, pulling the strings of whatever bad things happening in the movie. And then at the end, you know, he has his accident and, you know, gets the mask on. But I don't know if I really want that. You know, I would prefer almost that he gets revealed as pulling the strings in the background. He's already wearing green. He's already got the mask on and, you know, he's doing Doctor Doom stuff. But I would also like it for, like, him to start in maybe a Fantastic Four movie or at the end of a Fantastic Four movie as Doctor Doom, the politician / you know, scientist, and then maybe have him show up in a future, like, Doctor Strange or Shang-Chi movie or something like that, where he's learning the dark arts. And then eventually we see him in, like, a Secret Wars or what have you, where he's got magic, technology, money and power, and his intelligence. And then that's when we see, like, the true Doctor Doom kind of thing.
See, I would love that if they did it, like, you know, in one movie, he's kind of like a background character and he's learning, like the dark arts, because I think a lot of people forget he is a high level sorcerer.
Right. But that also came later in his story. Originally, yeah, it was just kind of, he had a power suit and some robots that looked like him, you know? So I think it would be cool if they, like, if we got to see that progression of his character. You, yeah, know, very, very rarely in the MCU have we seen one bad guy kind of, like, I don't know, like, growing as a character and changing. Loki is the one, but, you know, he obviously turned into a good guy, or at least an anti-hero of some sort. But, like, you know, Thanos, when we see Thanos, he's already, like, collecting the Infinity Stones. He's already conquered all the worlds. He's already badass Thanos. You know what I mean? Like, to see Doctor Doom, you know, get thwarted, but maybe not beaten, you know, and then to see him, like, popping up in other movies, like, behind all these things that are, like, getting worse and worse, leading to some large event, whether that's Secret Wars or something beyond that, I think it would be cool to see him develop as a bad guy, gaining more powers, that we get to see that along the way, not just like Thanos, where he's like one movie, he's like, ooh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stones. All right, let's do this. And then it's over kind of thing, you know?
I'd be down. I mean, I think another way that could work, because I've already introduced the character, is a Submariner, you know, Namor. He's already start off as a villain. Just let him continue as a villain. Plus, you know, the conflict between him, you know, Miss Fantastic and...
Sue Storm.
Yeah. She's got to pick between which Latin dude she wants, you know?
Yeah.
One or the other. Which Latin lover. I think that would work. And then slowly, I mean, we can see, you know, Miss Fantastic turning Submariner, you know, on the side of good.
Right.
And then, yeah, it can tie into the mutants later. So I can see at that angle, too. Now, I know we just talked about, like, how we want to see it be a little bit more serious and not as goofy. But Mole Man might be kind of good, but because he was, like, one of their firsts.
Yeah, see that. And it, you know, it could, like, we don't need world ending stories in every movie. I think, you know, you kind of paint yourself into a corner with that. And you have a hard time explaining, like, why aren't the Avengers helping out here? Like, it could be Mole Man. It could be, you know, something to do with the negative zone and, you know, some, you know, entity from there. I don't know that many Fantastic Four bad guys, but
Nihilus.
Yeah.
Mephisto.
Yeah. I think the Mephisto, if he's going to show up anywhere, it's going to be like a Doctor Strange or Ghost Rider type thing going
Although
on.
I would love to see the conflict between, okay, here's a team of science versus a fucking demon. You know, like, how are you going to deal with this science-wise? Like, because what I wouldn't want to see, and this is my only hesitance with Doctor Doom, is, like, I'm getting kind of sick of, like, when it's Iron Man, when you get the introduction, you know, another villain that's basically Iron Man.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Captain America. Oh, you know, Red Skull, who's basically, you know,
a super soldier.
Yeah, super soldier. So I think it'd be kind of cool to see, like, okay, here's one type of heroes and here's a different.
Yeah, how are they going to deal with something they,
like, how are you going to deal with it? So, like, I would love to see that. You know, obviously, eventually, I would love to see Galactus, but again, that could be.
And again, I think that's something that can totally be set up in the future. Like, I think the problem with the Fox Fantastic Four movies, and even the Fan-Four-Stick, the later one that came out, I think that they kind of, like, everyone, they put all their, you know, eggs in one basket with, like, Doctor Doom's there, then Silver Surfer and Galactus. It's like, okay, well, those are, like, the two biggest well-known threats to the Fantastic Four. Like, now where do you go once that's over? You know what I mean? So I hope they come up with something good. I'm really looking forward to seeing that movie and seeing the MCU version of the Fantastic Four. And I think Pedro is a good leading man to, you know, kind of renew the faith in the MCU, because they've been stumbling for a while. But,
you know, some other talks of another actor for I forgot to mention, for Johnny Storm, was Joseph Quinn from Stranger Things, Eddie. So Eddie?
I don't know if I like Eddie. I don't know. He seems a little too young, but maybe, like, I wouldn't be opposed to, like, the younger Hemsworth, but he's going to be the Witcher, I guess. Or, you know what? There's that other, the hot athlete dude from Euphoria would be a pretty good one. He's a pretty young kid.
I haven't seen Euphoria, so I don't know. Those are
gonna watch that. You gotta watch that show, because, you know, it makes our high school days seem pretty tame. let me see what his name is. His name is Jacob Elordi. I think he would be a great Johnny Storm for sure. And then, Sydney Sweeney is probably a little too young for what's his face, Pedro Pascal. But yeah, I hope good things are coming with the Fantastic Four. It's exciting that we're actually seeing some stuff being announced. There's even some controversy with, like, the director apparently posted something on Instagram somewhat confirming it, and then his Instagram account got deleted. So Disney's like, fuck, shut your mouth. You know, so. But let us know what you guys think. Do you like guys like the casting of Pedro Pascal as Mr. Fantastic? Do you think, you know, what are your hopes for the Fantastic Four movie? We'd love to hear it down in the comments. While you're down there, make sure you like and subscribe. It helps us out. And we're glad to be back because it's fun doing the podcast again. It's it had been too long. Right? Well, thank you, Christian, for, you know, being my Ben Grimm to my Mr. Fantastic. couldn't do it without you.
I'll take it.
And to all the nerds out there, remember, you're not alone. You're with friends. This is Nerds with Friends. Thank you. Good night.